It's time to know your lane.
What do you think will happen if Lonzo Ball ever wins an NBA title? I would assume LeVar Ball would be right in the middle of everything.
I think he's getting the dolphin.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. I'm wearing my NHL shirt.
I'm trying to
kiss up to the people at the NHL. We want to get Bettman on the show when we're down in Chicago later in the week.
What's the chance of that?
Well, we heard back and they said we'll see.
Apparently, you hear this.
Apparently, we're in a situation right now where it may or may not happen. He's going to do Radio Row.
If he sees us,
maybe he'll throw the mic on. Maybe he won't.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That would be quite the moment, wouldn't it?
Do you honestly think he knows about Jerry's percentages?
100%.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too. But
you're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
They had all of Jerry's... Try to find it, Mark, from SportsCenter last night. They had all of Jerry's comments at the draft. We have a trade to announce. You're going to want to hear this.
Well, Shy City, man. They don't have a first-round pick.
Do you remember Jerry's frame of mind the last time he stepped on the ice in that town?
In Chicago? That was when the Cup didn't show up on time.
The Cup was late, yeah.
That's right, Phil Pritchard.
He had smoke coming out of his ears.
He was so rattled.
He left a message for Philly, too.
Yeah, you have one job.
We got exclusive access to that voicemail somehow.
Yeah.
You have one job. Remember, though, it was storming in Chicago, and there was a bit of a backstory, but
still,
you got to get the cup in the building, man.
And do it on time. Like, what's going on there? You have one job. Like, he's taking a nap or something.
Right.
It's like, oh, I got plenty of time. Give myself half an hour to get there.
You've got all day. Just get it there on time. Get it there before the game.
Yeah.
And then you don't have anything to worry about. I also noticed before we came on, this is powered by Reebok. And I guess that is not going to be the case anymore because Adidas has taken over.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like a big story this week somehow. Well, the reveal of the new Adidas uniforms, like anyone cares.
But it looks like some... No, but I do because is it changing the integrity of the look? If that makes sense. Like... I saw a couple reveals or mock reveals. Like the Oilers jersey didn't look that sharp. And I don't love the orange, the bright orange. I personally don't like it.
Calgary and Edmonton, I have no idea why don't they do what Pittsburgh did and go back to their retro jerseys.
Yeah.
They're the best ones.
I actually like the Leafs 100 jersey. Like I thought that was sharp.
I'm a fan of the new Leaf uniform in general. I think it looks outstanding.
But if they switch just the look of it a little bit, I don't like it.
I hope they just don't have the three stripes down the arms.
Like the Russian tracksuit.
Right. Like the old school Adidas three-stripe tracksuit.
I used to have a pair of ball huggers. You got the short shorts.
Really?
With the three stripes. I used to play tennis in them.
You were a tennis player.
No, I wasn't very good, I'll tell you that.
I don't picture you playing tennis.
I was good at the net because I had good reflexes. But I didn't like going for the long balls. I would just try and bat things down at the net. I would charge the net every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Your go-to. Anyone with a lob, you're toast.
I was in trouble.
Someone texting in asking, if Jerry is on the show, will O-Dog do the Jerry voice throughout the interview?
No.
Not
a chance.
No?
No.
You have to show respect. I mean, this is the commissioner of the league.
So you think it'd be appropriate if I did the Jerry voice in front of Jerry?
I don't know about appropriate, but it might be a groundbreaking bit.
Groundbreaking as in he'll take the headphones off and leave.
And never come back.
I don't think he's coming on anyway.
He's come on our show before.
He's
might have been the draft that you were away.
In Philly?
Me and Naylor did it.
I wasn't a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've interviewed him multiple times in the past, but I can't remember the last time that happened. Been years.
Yeah, I think he's
blackballed me. Maybe
he's
I'm in the blacklist.
You. I think so.
Could be.
I don't know. Speaking of blacklist, like Steph put up a poll. Like you have to define the movie The Three Amigos.
I know.
Like, people are like, what the hell's the Three Amigos?
We referenced the movie, The Three Amigos. Steve Martin.
Yes, Martin Short.
Martin Short, Chevy Chase. And I don't even know how it came up. You said the word plethora, and
yes.
then he corrected you. And
die like dogs.
Yeah,
like
now Guapo, he's a big fan of the word plethora.
But what happens? She put up the wrong...
Well, she didn't put up the wrong poll question. She just didn't describe it properly.
So nobody, everyone's like, what's going on?
Asking people if we'd lost the audience by talking about the movie, The Three Amigos.
Exactly.
And
no,
as
Steph,
of now...
you lost the audience with the question.
51% of people saying no, which is okay, but that means 49% of people listening that are voting on this were like, you completely lost me. I had no interest in your little
or they didn't understand,
back and forth.
Or they didn't understand the question. So they were like, no, we don't understand what's going on.
Anyway, Bobby Mack coming up live from Vegas in about 15 minutes. We had Bruce Arthur in studio earlier this afternoon. Bruce's Twitter account has been lit.
He brought the heat.
Lit, like Roark stats recently down in D.C., if you're not familiar with that reference, should we just play the Keith Hernandez clip one more time?
7-7 in the ninth. Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
It's the greatest clip ever. Keith
it's a
Hernandez,
part of the show forever.
It has to be a drop now forever. And Keith Hernandez thought that they were off the air. It turns out the mics were hot. They were on the air. And he had some disparaging comments to say about Tanner Roark, who has actually been getting lit up. So it's not like he was off base, but right. No one expected Keith to reference it the way that he did. But Bruce Arthur, he hasn't been getting lit up.
Right.
But Kyle Lowry jumped on Twitter last night, and Bruce said to us, 100%, Kyle did not read the story in the Star. The piece went on the website last night. It was in the paper this morning. What Bruce says in the piece is in mid-May, teams were indicating that Kyle Lowry's camp was telling them there's a 0% chance he's going to return to Toronto, or he has zero interest in returning in Toronto.
Okay.
That was in mid-May. That's a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. Opportunities come and go.
Exactly.
The amount of money available comes and goes. The amount of term comes and goes. So Kyle now, and according to Masai Ujiri, who spoke with the media earlier today as well, wants to stick around.
Right.
But he didn't read the piece.
No.
Because Bruce didn't say, as of today, he has zero interest. He said a month ago, teams were indicating that that's what they were being told. Which is important context, because in the world of sports, things change all the time. I think Naylor brought it up earlier that it's a lot like the Jose Bautista situation from a year ago. He wanted this kind of money. Maybe he wanted to leave. And then all of a sudden, he realized, you know what? I got to come back here. And guess what? The Jays felt the same way. They probably wanted to move on from him. And they realized, this is what we got to do.
And people were biting. Kyle was biting on clickbait. Technically.
It was clickbait. It was a Bleacher Report clickbait that said Kyle Lowry has zero interest in returning to Toronto.
Right.
Report.
Right. But
so that's what they do for clickbait. They just extract one line, they make it the headline, and then the story follows.
Absolutely. No context, because you're going to click on that every single day of the week.
You click on it, but the logical thing is to read the article and then decipher it, not just go, oh, here we go, like fake news or whatever. Like, we all are guilty of it. I don't know how many times I go on Twitter or see an article about Trump, and you go out, you press on it, and then it has no relevance whatsoever. Zero. The other day, so Trump is yelling at TVs in his office. You know how many times I yell at the TV? All the time, when somebody on Jeopardy makes an idiotic comment or something. We all yell at the TV. You probably yell at the TV during a Leafs game. Do you not?
I do. I'm not the president of the United States, but
okay, but
yes,
where
I
is
do.
That? The point being, it's an idiotic thing that gets said, and it's a clickbait. I'll go on it.
Clickbait is the world we live in now.
Absolutely.
Bobby Mack will join us in a little bit. He'll say something provocative somewhere over the 15 minutes, and guess what the headline will be?
You get radioed.
Mackenzie. Well, it's not about getting radioed. You got to own your comments.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you say something, you say it.
Right.
But the point is, how do you sell it? How do you get to people on Twitter where there is a new tweet coming out every second that is trying to capture the attention of people as well? You know how you do it if you're the Bleacher Report? Lowry has zero interest in returning to Toronto. And then you probably open up the click, as of mid-May, he had zero interest. Now it's maybe a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we play this clip of Bruce explaining the story explaining Lowry's situation, his temperament, his mood.
We're going to play a clip?
We're going to play a clip, and it's a doozy of a clip.
It better be more than a minute.
It's not quite, but it's pushing it. All right, so this was Bruce Arthur in studio in the 4 p.m. hour explaining the piece, the reporting, and where we stand with Kyle Lowry.
Anyone who's surprised that Kyle Lowry grumbles to people, that he's perennially dissatisfied, that he's always upset about something and looking for something to fight, doesn't know Kyle Lowry. He's been doing this for years. It's why he never had a starting job or was fighting for starting jobs in town after town. It's why he was nearly out of the league. It's why when he came to the Raptors sat him down and had an intervention with him. And it's why, during this process, he has since at least February been telling people how unhappy he was as a Raptor, how unhappy he was with the organization. Same old Kyle. And it just happened to get to the point right after the playoffs ended in mid-May, where his people were telling other franchises he has zero interest in going back to the Raptors. Now, that's a snapshot in time. That's one moment. And during the entire process, from what I've been told, he hasn't told the Raptors that.
And I think that's important, is that Kyle Lowry, I don't know if he wants to come back to Toronto 100%. Mm-hmm. I know he wants a big contract offer from Toronto 100%, because then if he leaves, he can use that as a template to try to get a deal somewhere else. The Raptors come in at a max deal, and then Houston calls up, and let's say he wants to go to Houston. If you're Lowry's rep, you're saying, listen, this is what we have in our back pocket.
Right.
So it's not in his best interest to ever cut the Raptors out of the picture.
No.
Because the Raptors can boost his value, because if they're telling the league they want to re-sign him, then that's who you're competing against.
Bargaining chip.
Bargaining chip.
Absolutely. But the one thing that stuck out when Bruce was in here for me is that, and I don't know if this is true, Bruce is around them a lot more than I, but like Kyle being difficult and Kyle being a pain in the ass, and he said, you know, signing a long-term deal, like a five-year deal, and do you want to put up with him? Like, is he that amazing of a player that you're just going to put up with garbage? Is that the right verbiage?
Well, I don't know if it's garbage.
Just him being of a diva or whatever.
Yeah, he's a temperamental
high maintenance player.
High maintenance guy, right? But everything goes through him. He's the point guard. He touches the ball every single time up the court. He's their best player.
Right.
That attitude he brings on the court too. He leaves everything on the court. So it's not like he's a diva in terms of him when the ball goes up in the air.
McKee's
he plays hard.
Plays it out, yeah.
So I think from that standpoint, you're willing to accept that sometimes he has a gripe with the coach. Sometimes he probably hates on the coach. Sometimes maybe he gets into it with teammates. This is all speculation. But when you think of conventional wisdom, what is a diva? Or was a high-maintenance player?
Right.
That's kind of what happens. Sometimes he's not always on the right page or on the same page as the rest of the team. But he doesn't mail in games.
No.
So I think from that standpoint, you can put up with it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I would assume. Wouldn't you? Like, because when you think of diva, don't you think of guys sometimes who just check out and they're like,
absolutely.
Even when they're playing, they're like, I'm not in the mood to play tonight.
Yeah, just to suck.
That doesn't apply to Kyle.
I can only, like, Axl Rose, lead singer of Guns N' Roses, he's a diva. I was at a concert where he didn't want to sing, and they
exactly.
brought him out on a couch. I wanted to punch his face.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Would he be a diva off the stage? Of course he would. But yeah. I'm sure the band is willing to put up with it if when the curtain goes up, he
right.
actually sings.
Right.
And he performs. Kyle actually performs. So
right.
he's a high-maintenance player in terms of his attitude sometimes, but I think it's something that the Raptors can work with. And it's been effective for them. He's been here for 4 years. They've won a lot of games. But I think the bigger debate here and the bigger conversation, and another thing that came out of Bruce's report that people have not been focused on, is that his belief is, his understanding is they don't want to give him a max deal.
Yeah.
They don't want to give him 5 years at $30 million
plus. Well, he said...
And I wouldn't either.
But he said something else that kind of stuck out for me, too, is rumblings around the league or scouting report on the league is he's getting older, he's shorter, and he's not in great shape, I
guess.
That's
the way, like, pro sports is now. Anybody's around 30, what is he, 32?
He's 31, turning 32, yeah.
32, yeah. The way that sports is now, it's not about the 32-year-old. It's about the 25-year-old superstar. I think LeBron's an exception to that.
Well, there's always exceptions, right? Like,
but,
you know.
It's not about the 32-year-old guy. I don't want to give anybody at that age a 5-year contract.
That's why I'm a proponent of moving on without Kyle and potentially blowing it up and going through the Philadelphia 76ers process, which would be very painful for a number of years. But I think it would give the opportunity for the Raptors to finally have a core of young pieces that could grow up together that won't be on the verge of leaving, that could develop into a truly championship-caliber team. This is not a championship-caliber team. You bring back Lowry, you got DeMar, Casey, let's sign you re-sign Serge Ibaka. You didn't get your 48-50 wins, get back to the playoffs, lose in the second or third round. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
You're not beating LeBron. I'm not sure you're going to beat Boston. They keep adding pieces. Wizards are a good team. Milwaukee's an up-and-coming team. They gave the Raptors some troubles in the first round this year. It would be painful for 3 or 4 years, but if you can load up the way Philly has,
right,
and you walk away with 2 or 3 potential superstars, maybe it sends them in a direction that they've never been in, because they've never had like a top 5 player in the league. Even when Vince was Vince, he wasn't top 5. He wasn't better than Duncan or Kobe or Shaq,
right?
You know, that he just wasn't.
Top 10 maybe,
yeah,
15,
yeah, for sure, but. They can't acquire guys via free agency. It's not going to happen. Like Never LeBron, has. Kevin Durant, they're not coming here. They just are not coming to Toronto. I think you have to draft them. I think you've got to draft superstar talent.
Well, or...
And I don't see any other way around it up here in Toronto.
Like Bruce said, unless the person's born here and wants to come home type of thing. Now, Wiggins isn't that, is he?
I don't think Wiggins is going to be a superstar. I think he's got superstar talent. I think he's still got
he's
a lot of growth in his game.
He's going to be a second-tier star.
Yeah, I think he's going to be...
But Lowry's a second-tier star,
exactly.
Isn't he?
DeMar's a second-tier star.
Right.
There's a kid named RJ Barrett, I believe. And he's a Canadian kid. He's from the Toronto area. And he's like a sophomore in high school. Right. He's the number one ranked player in the country in the States. He's down in the States playing high school ball right now. And he's coming up in a few years. And he's expected to go first overall, be this unbelievable talent, 6'8",
yeah,
wing player, shoots left-handed. I mean, that's 3-4 years down the road, and you'd have to win the lottery. There's a lot that would have to fall in place.
But he'd want to, you know, maybe he'd want to come home.
You saw how much that fun that was for Buffalo when you're planning on a certain player for a tank and you don't get it?
Mm-hmm. It's not fun.
No.
It's not fun. But is it fun? What you got to ask yourself if you're a Raptors fan, is it fun to continue to be a second fiddle team?
Yeah, second.
Because that's what they are.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not mediocre, but they're also not championship caliber.
And the thing that also has to come into consideration is, and I've talked to people around the Leafs when they were going through the transition, it's like sooner or later, people that are buying the boxes and everything else, you want to rebuild and the team's garbage, they say they'll put up with it, but in actuality, they're not. They're not going to dump the money in for a private luxury box and go watch garbage all the time.
No, they probably
That's
won't.
That's the truth. You've got to look at the economics.
If you believe in 5 years you can be a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
Like the Leafs did it.
They did.
It's work for the Leafs. Now, there's no guarantees they get to the promised land either.
No, but they're on the
plan
right
track. Was put into hyperspeed, though, from one pick.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
What if you can get the next, maybe not LeBron, but the next
Durant
star, exactly, the next Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the next truly transcendent player.
The unfortunate part is maybe you hit rock bottom, and at that point the draft is you get Nail Yakupov.
You get Bargnani, who the Raptors got. Yeah. Their only first overall pick. They won the lottery. They moved way up. Andrea Bargnani was waiting for them. It's a gamble either way. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out that the Lakers have traded Timothy Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell, your boy D'Angelo Russell, the snoop,
the rat,
to the Nets for Brooke Lopez in the 27th pick. That's got to be moving parts.
I'd get rid
That's got to be rat. Paul George or something else has to be coming, you would assume. Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, he's down in Vegas. We'll get his take on what we can expect tomorrow night with the expansion draft, how many deals are out there, what are the Leafs kicking tires on, because George McPhee, the GM of the Knights, came out today and said they are, in fact, talking to Lou and company about a potential deal. We'll try to get you an update on that next. Expansion draft tomorrow night. TSN 1050's coverage of the expansion draft is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Experience the safety of affordable all-wheel drive today. Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, live from Vegas in a few minutes. Still doesn't feel real. Like, Vegas is actually playing in the league next year.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Like, as of October, they are playing in the National Hockey League.
I'm calling games next year, so I mean, I'm...
Do you think you'll get one in Vegas?
Probably not, because Ray lives in Vancouver. It's close little shot. But if Ray's doing a Leaf game that night, I will be doing Ottawa in
You should
Las
demand
Vegas.
That. Well, storm really into an office and demand a Vegas game.
You know what our superiors would say? Get the hell out of my office. Probably. Have you ever stormed into an office?
No,
ever?
I'd love to storm in.
Oh, you've stormed into a coach's office. I've stormed into a couple offices.
This storm in. Well, you can storm in, though, if you got a guaranteed contract, you're making millions. Paul Maurice, he didn't have the clout to get rid of you.
Well,
he gave me an assistant captain, and he ripped it off after one game because I smashed my stick over the glass. Got an extra two. They scored. Game over. There goes the A.
And you stormed in.
Yeah. And I gave it to him.
How did he respond?
Yeah, he said it wasn't my call. So that basically means Jimmy Rutherford told him to tell me to get it off my jersey.
So why didn't you storm into Rutherford's office?
That's a stretch.
It's a stretch Jimmy to storm had, the GM.
He had the power to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And make you eat it, potentially. Whose office do you wish you could have stormed into 23 years ago this week?
Bob McKenzie's.
Because he sewered you?
Because of the sewer job.
There are a few players in the draft as inconsistent as Guelph Storm center Jeff O'Neill.
No, I like the AWOL comment. I think that one is the... That's
the real stinger for you?
Stinger.
He has the ability to go AWOL. His competitive spirit goes totally AWOL at times. Sometimes it's only for a shift, sometimes an entire game. Here's Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, brought to you by Financing. Do you remember what you were doing 23 years ago this week, Bob?
And sometimes it's for an entire show.
Yeah, that's the modern sales pitch. Right,
so let me get this straight. The guy who coined the phrase, mail it in Friday, is a little perplexed that I might have suggested that his consistency was a little bit lacking.
Well, I mean, it was just the timing of it. I mean, I'm about to get drafted.
I know.
That's a million dollar scouting report. Lost.
I will be honest with you. A couple of things. Number one, when I used to write those, as I was writing them, I used to feel bad for the kids that I was writing them about. But I'm like, hey, I didn't make the rules. I'm not the one who thrust 18-year-olds into the spotlight. And it goes with the territory, so I kind of got over that fairly fast. And the second thing is, you obviously weren't going number one. It wasn't my scouting report. And this is maybe part of the problem. You think that I actually had something to do with you dropping in the draft. And that's not true.
Well, Central Scouting had me as one.
Yeah, Central Scouting has lots of guys at one, but that just means they were probably right, because if you look at the guys that were taken before you, for the most part outside of Eddie Joe was a real good NHL defenseman, obviously. But, I mean, Radek Bonk, give me a break.
Bonk Senior.
Yeah, how did that one work out?
Here's what I would say about that. I agree with you, Bob. You may not have cost him that top pick, but the scout you quoted... He potentially cost him it, because the scout was quoted as saying he can play a high skill game with grit. He can also go from great to horse bleep real fast. End quote.
It's a cruel world, isn't it, Jeffy?
Oh man,
it all worked out in the end, Bobby.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, my friend. Yeah. And all kidding aside, you had quite a career. And now you've got another one.
That's right.
No kidding, man. He's bringing it to new levels. The whole broadcasting game is changing. What's it like to be in the hometown of an NHL team down in Vegas?
Hot. I think it's 117 Fahrenheit right now.
Oh, that's gross.
But I'm not spending too much time outside, so I shouldn't be complaining about the weather.
Don't you know it's about the day pool there?
Yes. I've seen the pools, but I'm working too hard. Oh, I'm trying to keep my consistency up. I don't want to go from outstanding to horse bleep in a bit.
Well played. Yes. Smart move. So is it buzzing down there? I mean, what's going on down
that's
there?
That's a good question. It's always buzzing. I mean, it's the same when you go to Nashville for the Cup Final. It's going to buzz whether the Cup Final is there or not. And Vegas is going to buzz whether the awards and the team are here. But it's a fun place. It's a good spot to be. And I'll tell you what, the hockey world is buzzing because there's you know, so many balls in the air right now with this Vegas thing. We've been, you know, reporting as best we can pieces of deals we think are happening. A little while ago I said I'm pretty sure Minnesota has a deal. I think they're the seventh team that we're aware of. I think now there's getting wind, and it's not, nothing's firm, and it's more speculation than anything, but I think the number's closer to eight. The Florida Panthers probably also have a deal with Las Vegas Golden Knights to take certain guys or not take other guys, and I'm not sure what goes with it, but there may well be an eighth team that already has a prearranged deal with Vegas.
Bob, we've been complaining back here because you're watching the NBA kind of all hell break loose. There's deals left and right, and the NHL has kind of a gag order, and it's, yep, you know, that's the one thing. Do you believe, and I know the NHL really doesn't care too much about this, but the optics of it, wouldn't it be amazing to just kind of have a few things trickle out? If you're George McPhee and you want to drive up the price, maybe just leak something to yourself or somebody else that, the price tag for to leave Josh Manson alone is a first rounder and a high prospect. All of a sudden, a team that wants to acquire him, you start getting some play and maybe driving those prices up. But it's the gag order that's kind of frustrating everyone. Do you sense that?
Well, here's what I think, and I have no way of proving this, but I think that the eight deals that I'm talking about, and this includes, you know, the Anaheim deal you just referred to, from the layoff Manson, maybe take Clayton Stoner, the Columbus deal where David Clarkson's money could be headed to Vegas for a first round pick, the Islander deal where Grabowski's money is going to Vegas for a first round pick and to lay off the good forwards that are there. And there's others, Pittsburgh. I don't have the list right in front of me, but and we mentioned most recently Minnesota and Florida. I believe that all these deals were cut before the lists were submitted. I think that I think those ones are in the bag and have been in the bag for a while. I think what you're seeing now is, and again, it's not being done publicly, and maybe we'd have more fun if it was, but I think what you're seeing is there's teams that are calling now and saying, hey, I kind of like this guy. Can you pick that guy for me? And because he's exposed, and I'll give you this to pick him. So, you know, everybody's wondering, what was George talking about when he mentioned Lou Lamoriello's name? That was a weird one, by the way, because George usually doesn't say too much to begin with. He's not a general manager that likes to air his stuff in public. And then to mention one of the most secretive general managers in the league that you're talking to him, that was, you know, a lot of people kind of thought that was maybe a smokescreen. You know, is that designed to do exactly what you just said, Noodles, and that is, you know, maybe make Ottawa think that Toronto's interested in Mark Methot, so Pierre Dorion better offer more to get Vegas to lay off Methot, or is it a legit thing where Toronto and Vegas are actually talking, and as Frank Cervelli and some others have reported, maybe Colin Miller in Boston is right, available. You know, he's a guy that the Leafs brass will be well familiar with. He played for Kyle Dubas and I believe Sheldon Keefe up in Sault Ste. Marie, and kind of is an analytics darling in terms of the kind of defenseman that he is. So, you know, is that something that maybe the Leafs will work on? So we don't know the answer to those questions, but, you know, maybe that was a little bit of game playing there, or maybe it was an actual, you know, just telling people that, hey, Lou and I are talking.
Well, if you're right in that breakdown, Bob, that these deals were in the bank before the list came out, I don't see how George McPhee is going to avoid criticism, or at least second guessing as to why you wouldn't leverage these potential players?
Well, once... he was leveraged, but the leverage happened before because they know what's going on. Like the, you know, George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon and the guys that work for Vegas, they know what everybody's list is going to look like. They know who's going to be protected and who's not going to be protected and who's in an exposed area. So, you know, they knew right away that, you know, some of these teams have a soft spot and will go at that soft spot. And that's where these deals got done, on the threat of that soft spot. So, and that's why the list can be really misleading, because if my point is correct, and if these deals were done ahead of the list going in, you know, Garth Snow's taking it on the chin because people are saying, oh, what's he doing? He's leaving Brock Nelson. He's leaving Ryan Strome unprotected. Well, he's leaving guys unprotected because he knows that they can't be taken because he's got a deal. He's got protection. It's just, it's a facade. The list could be a facade if there's protection in place. And, you know, same thing in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think Jimmy Rutherford's known for a long time. He's got a deal that Las Vegas has taken Marc-Andre Fleury. It's a done deal, and it has been for a long time. So when Brian Rust and Ian Cole and some of these other guys in Pittsburgh, who you might say, oh, that might not be a bad pick, that might not be a bad pick, you know, Jimmy's laughing because he knows already what's going to happen. Fleury's getting picked, and you only lose one guy.
Well, and I get that. I understand that. I guess what I'm saying is maybe the second guessing will be fan bases of other teams that didn't pay that price. And what I mean by that is using Anaheim, because we talk about them all the time.
Right.
There's a belief out there they've worked out deals so that Vegas won't take Manson or Vatanen. Well, if those deals are somewhat underwhelming, I think people in Toronto are going to be saying, wait a minute, they gave him a second rounder not to take Manson? I'll give him first and a cap in Kapanen for him.
Right. Yeah,
like, why would you let that happen?
You're right, and that's what everybody has to, and that's why until we see who's got deals, what they are, all those things, then you're right, we can't fairly judge or whatever. We're kind of operating in a vacuum here without a lot of knowledge.
Well, we brought this up earlier as well. Brian Boyle was on Leafs Lunch earlier today, the most recent fourth line center for the team, but he's a UFA. He's 32. I thought he fit in well. I could make sense of the Leafs looking at trying to bring him back. I'm not sure what the parameters of that deal would be. Nothing too crazy. He's a fourth line player. But if Boyle decides to walk, I think they need to address that position because Gauthier is injured and he's not going to be ready to play. I'm not sure he's a guy you can bank on at all this year. Ben Smith clearly is not the answer. Is there potential here that from a Leaf perspective, we're focusing on the wrong trade? We believe Lamoriello's calling about a defenseman, but maybe he's calling about a centerman that's available, saying pick him up and we'll take him off your hands and there's your fourth line center via Vegas as opposed to via maybe free agency in July.
Anything's possible. I don't have any knowledge of it. Your guess is as good as mine. And I'm trying to think if, you know, without going through the list player by player, team by team, see who might fit that bill. I'm not really quite sure. But on the Boyle thing, you know, you're right. With Freddie the Goat going down with a really significant injury at the end of the season there, and not going to be ready until who knows when, November, December, whatever the case may be, where I wouldn't have been in the mode to give Brian Boyle a multi-year deal. I still wouldn't give him 3 years. If he's looking for three, I don't think I would. But I might be inclined, if I were the Leafs, especially because Mike Babcock trusts that player, Boyle, so much, that, you know, maybe a two-year deal is not out of line, and if that's enough for him to want to stay or compared to what he might get on the open market, those are things, if I were the Leafs, I'd certainly be looking at.
I'm with you on that. We'll see how it all plays out tomorrow night, and we'll break it down on Thursday from Chicago. Thank you for this, Bob.
All right. We'll get over to do some scouting reports for the players on Thursday and Friday.
I'll be mailing that in, buddy.
Mail it in Friday. The draft's on a Friday, brother.
Yeah, you know it.
It should be a fun ride. We're only on the air for 7 hours.
Oh, there's be some mailing it in.
I need your A game on Friday night.
Dude, there's no A game for these kids. I don't know these kids.
Hey. He goes from horse bleep to...
That's right. Greg Reiner to horse bleep real quick.
Actually, he's going to go from horse bleep to AWOL on Friday night. Yeah. He's going to start bad, and then partway through the night, he's just not going to be there. He's going to disappear.
Ninja dust.
There'll be phantom bathroom breaks.
I was just going to say, there will be like 30-minute bathroom breaks.
No one can pull off a bathroom break like you. I've never seen it before. Mic off. I got to go. I got to go. Like a five-year-old in the car on a long road trip.
I was going to pull the infamous disappear.
Yeah. Love that move. Don't plant seeds, Bob. I need this guy on Friday night. All right, man. Enjoy yourself down there.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. Well, that's not surprising. I mean, if these deals were in the bank before the list came about,
I see what then you're saying is
McPhee's going to be like, all right, that's the deal.
But, like, you're saying he makes a deal for a first rounder and nothing else to protect Vatanen and Josh Manson and a team that has a higher pick and would offer a prospect or two comes out of the woodwork and goes, we'll give you that.
Exactly.
And the deal's done already.
How do you not sort of go back and say, what was McPhee thinking?
Right.
Or, like, how did it get to that point? Because
what'll happen, the worst thing that can, you want to talk about a sewer job, say it gets released that, you know, Clayton Stoner gets picked by Las Vegas and Anaheim trades a second rounder to him, for him. And another general manager comes out and says, I would have paid more.
Like, to get somebody, Josh, if they selected him and flipped him
off. I would have paid more for player.
Somebody player out and says that.
But that's my impression. That's what's happened here. And this is what I've been saying all week. He sounds diplomatic. Like, we'll give you a chance. Give us.
Yeah,
okay, that sounds good. We'll put that in the bank. We'll take this guy for you.
How about go to hell? I got a better offer.
Exactly.
I can't see that, though. Like, Ray knows him. I think Ray has a good relationship with him. I've always known him as a pretty shrewd general manager. I can't see it. And Kelly McCrimmon, same thing. Like, these are smart guys. Like, they're not just rolling in. They've been handed a general manager job. Like, these guys know what they're doing.
I hear you, Noodles.
You know
how the game works. It's an old man's club, and they're all in it together. And
I
keep
that.
Referencing the offer sheets. It's the same thing. They do not do it. Not because they can't, because I wouldn't do that to my buddy. I wouldn't possibly offer sheet their player, because we don't do that in the NHL.
Well, I don't even think, like, you're right, but offer sheets nowadays barely, I mean, they don't
happen because of Burke's reaction when Kevin Lowe pulled that off on Dustin Penner. He was within his rights to offer him
anything.
Why does he owe Brian Burke anything? Doesn't owe him anything.
The CBA, absolutely.
But Burke wanted to fight the guy in a barn in Western New York. Like, think about that. That's hockey, the old boys club in a nutshell.
You're right, but there's not a chance that, I don't think, anyways. I think you're always going to be disappointed, because if you're sitting there and saying, if Vatanen's available and they got a second rounder for him, the Leafs could have offered more. And the Leafs are in...
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for that to be the case, and then I'm going to say, wait a minute, why didn't that happen?
You're right. The only other thing that I could counter, and I'm not suggesting you're wrong, is that maybe they didn't cover that player. Maybe there's somebody else that they don't.
Potentially. You're right. And listen, once the expansion draft comes and goes, the league doesn't shut down.
Right.
Trades still can happen. Like, Eberle and Galchenyuk were protected. People still expect both of them to be traded.
Absolutely.
So things are going to happen here, man.
I think it's just
a matter of when.
The unfortunate part, it's going to happen so quick. There'll be like a trade that's pretty significant that it will gloss over because something else has happened.
I hope you're right.
Instead of...
Because the NBA is stealing the show right now.
Right now.
Now the Lakers have made a deal, and everyone's saying this means LeBron's going to the Lakers, Paul George is going to the Lakers, they're going to take Lonzo Ball second overall. Anyway.
The dad will be a problem there.
He might be. Three stars, best bets coming up. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Y'all good?
I'm all good, man.
I thought you were jumping the gun there, man.
No. Interesting story, though, out of the PGA Tour today, that Phil and his caddy have parted ways.
Really?
Bones is gone after 25 years.
He can't. It's like Shane Doan in Arizona, man. That guy, he had 25 years of the number two golfer in the world. That guy would have made millions off Phil.
And they were just like peas and carrots.
How does that transaction go down, though? Like,
something must have happened.
Must have happened, shady.
I wonder if old Bonesy ripped into him for not showing up at the U.S. Open.
Yeah. They're like, you know what?
Gave him the read him the riot.
Because Bone showed up and he did a pre-scout on the whole tournament, and then Phil didn't show up.
Yeah, Phil bailed on it.
Maybe Bonesy like called him up and tuned him up, and Phil said, "All right,
see you later.
Take a lap."
Being a caddy would be a great gig.
On a top 20 golfer in the world?
Oh, you make a fortune. You travel all over the world. All expenses paid. No one knows you. There's no pressure on you. No. Johnny Miller's not
carving up the guy in the bag. I agree, but hasn't there been caddies that have screwed their player over as far as picking up a ball or marking it wrong and
Ian
stuff?
Ian Woosnam almost broke his club over his caddy's neck a couple years ago at the British Open. He had too many clubs in the bag, and on the third hole, he noticed it. Try to find the YouTube of that. He was losing it. He grabs a club and chucks it in the air.
See, like, that's...
You got one job. Count the clubs.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And you're making a lot of money. If the guy wins, you make a lot of money.
I've seen a couple times. I thought one guy, like, marked the pin wrong way or was holding the flag one time, and a guy, like, nailed it. And they're like, hold on a second. Your caddy was standing in the background with the flag lined up on the hole.
Probably at some point a caddy is screwed up to that point. But it's not like Shooter McGavin where the guy... They're debating what club, and then he fires them on the course.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Yankees back home against the Angels tonight. Giants in Atlanta and over the number in the Jays game tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. Quickly, three stars. No intro, no outro, no extra,
Bones
whatever
McKay,
it's called.
Bobby Mack for his scouting reports.
Yes, Bobby Mack. Bruce Arthur for in-studio work.
Bruce brought the heat.
Yeah, that was good.
Good stuff. Steph, Malls, Chicago.
Malls, for sure.
Whole nine. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.